Breaking news today on JSecio Live. The Michigan election in doubt. We'll talk about why today on the broadcast.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecio Live.
Two Republican election officials in Michigan's largest county are now rescinding their votes to certify the election results, claiming they were bullied into siding with Democrats.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Republican canvasser Monica Palmer saying in a sworn affidavit, quoting here, after the vote, the public comment period began and dozens of people made personal remarks against me and Mr. Hartman. The comments made accusations of racism and threatened me and members of my family. The public comment continued for over 2 hours and I felt pressured to continue the meeting without a break.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So here's the situation in Michigan specifically, in Wayne County, which is Detroit, so the largest county in the state of Michigan. You have the election commission, there's four members, two Democrat, two Republican. The two Republican were not signing off on the election in Wayne County. Then all of a sudden they reversed course, signed off on it, or that was the report that they had signed off on it, because the election officials agreed that they would do a full audit of the vote. The reason why is why is there an issue in Wayne County? In 71% of the precincts, the number of people who signed in to vote is lower than the amount of votes that were cast. So the amount of people that actually signed in to vote is lower in 71% of the precincts. So the two Republicans have now said, we were pressured and lied to, threatened, and we were lied to that there would be this audit of the vote. So we are pulling back our certification. In fact, we never actually went through the full certification process, and this would put a certification of the entire state's, of course, election into question, which then goes to, again, the bigger issue of, will these states meet their deadlines where they have to certify these votes? And what happens after that? We will explain that today on the broadcast and take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, well, this is called failed elections. I mean, this is elections that are not working. This is a process that does not work. We've seen it in Georgia, which we'll get to in a little bit, which is a total mess. They're supposedly certifying that tonight, which I can't even imagine. And now you got Wayne County, which is Detroit, Michigan, and you got two of the electors saying, you know what? We don't think we can certify this, because there were these 71% irregularities. Now, Harry, this is your hometown. What is going on in Detroit?
Well, what is going on in Detroit is what has gone on in the past. The city of Detroit has been a voting mess for decades. In this particular case, if you go back to the August primary in 2020, the city of Detroit had the same voting problems that the city of Detroit experienced in November 2020. So one of the key points to be made here is that the city of Detroit did nothing to clean up its act over the last 4 or 5 months. Essentially, we have unbalanced voting rolls suggesting one of two things, either that more people voted than actually registered, or there's a huge problem with respect to the voting rolls. In either case, the vote should not be certified in Wayne County.
Let me quickly go to Andy Economo, who's in Georgia. And Andy, you got a vote certification issue there too. More counties found yesterday, last night.
That's true, Jay. Yesterday, we found out that there were ballots that were found in Douglas County, which is west of Atlanta toward the Alabama line. I don't know exactly how many, but it was reported on the local news, WSB, that there were additional ballots found. So we've got Walton, we've got Floyd County, we've got Fayette County, we've got now Douglas County, in which votes are being found, and the Secretary of State appears to be forging ahead, blundering ahead, to make a certification on the 17th following.
Forging is a good word, I would say, here. Go ahead, Jordan.
And we've got Ginny Beth Martin from Tea Party Patriots going to be joining us in this first half hour of the broadcast, too. She made that phone call we played yesterday to the election officials wondering, well, does the recount even matter? Which votes are you going to even count in the state? And they're not quite sure.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. So in Michigan, you've got a situation where in a county that is the biggest county in Michigan, population-wise, Wayne County, which is Detroit, Michigan, the election commission there moved forward with certifying the election results. And now the two Republicans and two Democrats on the commission. The two Republicans have said they were pressured into signing off on this and that they were told there would be a full canvassing and audit of the vote, and that's not taking place. They actually never actually finally signed off on it, so they've now issued that they are not going to certify this. This then brings into the federal laws in question, like the Electoral Count Act, which comes from 1887, when you basically do not have states certifying their elections on time, so they're missing the deadlines, and they've got various issues where you talk about, was the election basically a failed election in the state? In the sense, you can't rectify the results. Like we were talking about with Harry, if you got 71%
right
of your precincts don't add up and in your biggest county in your state, your whole state has had a failed election when it comes to the races that were affected by that county. And of course, the presidential race is affected by the largest county in the state.
Yeah. And of course, then when you do have
a Democrat stronghold.
Yeah, and when you have a failed election, there's a process under the Constitution and under state law as to what's supposed to happen. The ACLJ has produced a rather lengthy memorandum on state legislature's ability to seat electors, because when you've got a failed election, we should also mention Harris County in Nevada, where they're throwing out 150,000 ballots for a commissioner's race, but they're letting it stay for the president. Yet the allegations are fraud. So I go back to Harry, and then I've got something for Andy, but I'm going to get Harry first, because Harry, the thing I'm concerned about here is what? This is, I think, the example of failed elections.
Absolutely. So we either have a failed election in Michigan, or Trump is entitled to all of the electoral votes in Michigan based on the vote before Wayne County. You cannot certify, in my judgment, based on the factual record of Wayne County, the votes for the Wayne County voters. So that could throw the electoral count in Michigan to the state legislature because essentially we have a failure. But the problem, Jay, is this failure has been ongoing for decades, and clearly it was in play with respect to the August 2020 primary The city of Detroit was aware of the problem. The Wayne County Board of Elections was aware of the problem, but they did virtually nothing about it.
Rudy Giuliani, our colleague, is about to speak right now at a press conference for the campaign. Let's go to this right now.
Representative of our legal team, we're representing President Trump, and we're representing the Trump campaign. When I finish, Sidney Powell and then Jenna Ellis will follow me, and we will present, in brief, the evidence that we've collected over the last, I guess it is 2 weeks.
Okay, when we get back, when they get into discussing the evidence that they're laying out, we'll go back to it. So we have this situation in Michigan. We have it, Andy, in Nevada. We have where there's 150,000 ballots being thrown out, but only for one race. We have a recount in Georgia that's not recounting the Senate, which is kind of absurd. And then we've got all these ballots being found. You're in Atlanta right now. What is the status?
The status, Jay, is complete chaos. That's the status. And I'm ashamed to say that the status of chaos obtains in this state due to the ineptitude of the elections canvassers in each of the counties and the Secretary of State, and the fact that the governor has not made any appearance whatsoever, nor has he made any comment. But you've got counties that are finding votes on the almost 17 days after the election has been completed on November 3rd, and you've got votes being found, and a presumptive certification going to take place when you don't have all the votes in the state tallied. This is ridiculous. And the Secretary of State, as I said earlier, is forging ahead. Perhaps that is a Freudian term that has some use to it, but he's going ahead, it appears, without any kind of audit or any kind of real canvas to certify the election. The law in Georgia means he lays it before the governor. The governor then certifies the electors. But if there is no slate, then, as Harry said, obtains in Michigan, the same thing would happen in Georgia. It would go to the General Assembly, the legislature, who would choose the electors. And in my view, that's what ought to happen here.
Well, you know, it's a much more complicated process than people realize, though. I'm reading, we have a thorough memo on this. You got the legislative bodies decide if they're split, then the governor of the state
does. States, governors, and then you've got Congress, too. Yeah. I mean, this again, it's a complicated, much more complicated process than we kind of explain to our kids if you go vote. And then you, even at the Electoral College process, when you understand that, the actual process of electors and how that all works is more complicated than most civics lessons get into, and even most attorneys ever get into, because we don't have these situations where it's so widespread. But here's a situation, too, like in Wisconsin. There is going to be a recount. Trump campaign is paying for it. And it's only in two counties, Milwaukee County and Dane County. And Dane County is Madison. And they can't figure it out there. The commission there is at a war. The three Republicans, the three Democrats are fighting. So they can't even get the recount started. This is showing a glaring problem in our election process. And it's not good for a Democratic Republic. I agree with a lot of the commentators said, this is not good. But what we're actually exposing is the real problems that have been in existence. And maybe the numbers haven't been there before where maybe the problems haven't mattered as much. But when you have bad leaders like in Georgia and Secretary of State, goofy electoral commission set up like in Wisconsin, they can't figure out how to get a recount started in just two counties, a paid-for recount. The state gets paid to do the recount. They can't figure that out. And in Wayne County, 71% of the precinct's numbers don't add up. And they're not like one or two off. They're hundreds off in precinct to precinct. They're not one or two people that didn't sign in right. These are talking about literally, if you put it all together, the numbers don't add up in these states. And so they happen to be in the five or six states that determine who the next president of the United States will be. That's where we see most of these problems. We're not seeing a lot of these problems in the bluest of blue or the reddest of red. And I think that's because the elections were pretty clear in those states.
Yeah. So
but in states where it comes down to 100 votes per precinct and you're 200 people off in your precinct, well, guess what? You could be responsible for screwing up the presidential election. That's what's happening.
Well, I'm holding in my hand. I showed this yesterday. This is the thumb drives that are showing up all over Georgia. I mean, I think when I say all up over Georgia, there's been at least four counties now. We don't have final counts from these. But this is what – we have no idea what the certification is. We have no idea who kept them. We have no idea if there was a cross-check. We have no idea if they were left in somebody's drawer. We have no idea if there's 10 more of these. But they are bent on certifying tonight. So that's Georgia. Nevada, we got 150,000 voters that ballots are being thrown out as to a county commission race that where they said there was fraud in the way this was all done.
They admitted to fraud in Clark County. So but a Democrat-controlled county has said they had so much fraud with in one of their races in the county. 160,000 votes are being tossed out. They're going to have a revote for that race.
Well, shouldn't you be tossing out
all of them?
But they're
going to count them for president.
Yeah. So there was only fraud for the county commission. That's really that's pretty significant manipulation. So there's a team out there doing that. There's a team in Georgia getting ready, I think, filing today on that. Michigan, you had this moving certification issue. And in Georgia, of course, as I said, there'll be a lawsuit filed today. Pennsylvania, the hearing is already taking place. We're waiting to see what happens there. Putting this in perspective, here's what it means coming up on the break. We're going to hear from Jenny Beth after the break here.
That's right.
She went and made calls in Georgia to the election authorities, Andy, and then the election authorities were very unclear as to what vote they're going to certify, the vote on election night or actually the new ballots found.
Well, I heard her say that, and one of the election officials to whom she spoke said, I'm going to certify to the Secretary of State what the result was on election night. Well, how can you do that and then have a meaningful audit or recount after? It doesn't make sense. The idea of a recount or a re-canvass, or to use the Secretary of State's word, an audit, is not that you certify what was on election night, which obviously is incorrect, but you do it the right way by auditing the ballots piece by piece, vote by vote, ballot by ballot. If they're mail-in, match the signature with on the envelope with that in the ballot and so forth. So this competing representations that are being made to people add to the chaos that exists in this state.
Yeah, this is, by the way, the ACLJ, is I'm holding up in front of you memos that our teams are putting together on the state issues on these certification issues. So the ACLJ legal teams on the constitutional issues and election integrity are fully engaged.
Yes, and I mean, you got a press conference, Sal. Do you want to go to give it?
We only have a minute left.
Yeah, so we're going in. We're going to come back with Jenny Beth Martin.
We'll go to it during the break on Facebook and Periscope.
Yeah, and so YouTube. Rudy Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani is doing a press conference as well. We're talking about a lot of the same issues. Obviously, it's with, you go city by city, really. And it's interesting enough that we're talking about it like that. Now, in Georgia, it's the entire state that has had problems. But in these other Democrat strongholds, it's Philadelphia, it's Las Vegas, it's Detroit. See a pattern there? I do. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation. The whole month of November is a matching challenge month. We have a group of donors that say we will match every donation to the ACLJ that comes in the month of November. Donate today at ACLJ.org. It's how we do all the legal work, government affairs work. It's how we bring you this broadcast. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, where I take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3131.
Jordan, will you say the certification issue is complicated? Just so our audience knows. Let me tell you, we are looking at it. It is complicated. We're breaking it down, but it is a complicated process.
And the problem is that you've got a lot of state leaders, I think, in Georgia. And Jenny Beth Martin's joining us now from Tea Party Patriots. In Georgia, you've got Secretary of State, people that run for elected offices. Let's say I have friends who have statewide elected office, and they take their jobs very seriously, and they have jobs. One of my friends is the state auditor in West Virginia. You may not even be able to figure out what that title means. It's very complicated, and he takes it seriously. A lot of people run for Secretary of State as a jumping board, and they think that, oh, you could just sign off on the election. That's all I got to do. The counties are going to do the work. The city. And you're seeing in Georgia what happens when the state-level leadership, Republican, it could be Republican, doesn't really understand what their job is, and they get a tight election, and they got the problems going on, and you get to a situation, and we've got Jenny Beth Martin joining us now from Tea Party Patriots. And Jenny Beth, you get to a situation, you made the phone calls and you put them out online publicly where you actually called the election officials locally and said, what's even going to count in the final results in Georgia? And they really don't know.
No, they don't know. What they've been told from the Secretary of State, at least at this moment, is what counts is what was certified at the local level last Friday. And in fact, we're hearing, now I haven't seen this yet, so this is what we have heard from local boards of election and where we've done an open records request, is that the Secretary of State has even said, just use the same numbers unless you found extra ballots. So I don't even...
I mean, what is that even... Jay Beth, this is Jay. What does that even mean? I mean, what in the world does that even mean?
That it sounds to me like it means it doesn't matter what you counted. We'll just use... But right. In the manual recount, we'll just use what was scanned.
Okay. So,
and I wonder, why are we recounting then?
Well, let me, Andy, we were looking at this Georgia situation very carefully, obviously, at the ACLJ. And it seems to me, I'll get Harry's comment on this too, but I'll start with Andy, that they are running into equal protection issues. They are running into violation of state laws. They are going to certify something and not even know the number they're supposed to certify.
That's exactly right, Jay. You're going to have a certification of a number that you have no, that you really know and have proof positive is an irregular and improper number. Certify the number that came on election night unless you find extra ballots. What does that mean? What a stupid remark for a Secretary of State to make. Where is this man coming from? You don't do, if you're going to have an audit, you have an audit. You look at the votes, you handle them manually. You cast the, you look at the vote, the ballot that was cast, if it's an absentee, and you check and make sure a mail-in ballot, and you check and make sure that the signatures match. You don't just take the numbers and add, if you find some extra ballots. What kind of incompetence is that? What kind of guidance is that to give? What? I mean, this man, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue both asked that he step aside and resign, and I think he should. Look, I represented the Secretary of State in Georgia for years. The Secretary of State in Georgia has many responsibilities, but the cemeteries, securities, archives, charities and things like that. But the main thing that the Secretary of State does is runs an election. Raffensperger can't even do that right.
All right, so we got the situation there. You got the situation now in Wayne County and then Nevada. But it looks like to me, Harry, quickly, and I'll go back to Jenny Beth, it looks like to me that equal protection is where this is going to rise and fall.
Absolutely, and I also think one of the things that a listener should be absolutely clear on is that in many of these cases, it strikes me that these county and state boards of election certification, they should... potentially be exposed to criminal liability for fraud, because how can you certify an election when you know that the vote count is incorrect? And so the question then becomes, why are they doing that?
Right.
What is motivating them?
Right.
What is incentivizing them to engage in this misbehavior that violates the Constitution and may expose them to some type of criminal liability?
I want to go back to Jenny Beth Martin, who's joining us from Tea Party Patriots. It's teapartypatriots.org. But Jenny Beth happens to be, like a lot of us, from the state of Georgia. And so I want you to explain what you tweeted out yesterday. Because we played it on air yesterday. We told people we'd have you on today about exactly what you did as a Georgian. So it's not just as the head of Tea Party Patriots, but as a citizen of the state of Georgia, a Georgia voter, what you did and what people hear in that call when they say that they're not really sure, like, the election results they're going to count are the counts from that night. And, of course, when did election night end? That's a big question, too, because if your vote's on a thumb drive that wasn't found, did election night end for you before your vote was counted or after, and then after the recount? So, Jenny Beth, tell people about that because it's getting a lot of attention, and it's kind of showing – in Georgia specifically, I see, unlike some of these states where it's Philadelphia is the issue or Clark County's an issue or Detroit's an issue, in Georgia, the entire state seems at issue.
Yeah, the entire state is an issue. We've got an issue from the beginning to the end. We don't know whether the votes that were cast were legal or not. We're just supposed to take the word of the people who were verifying signatures. And under normal circumstances, that would be okay. But there are so many reports of people who showed up on election day and learned that a ballot had already been cast for them as an absentee ballot or requested as an absentee ballot for them when they did not request one. So there's an issue with that. And we need to know whether the votes that were cast were legal or not. And we still don't have there's no sunlight there at all, no transparency, and we don't have the answer to that. Then the next thing is that we're doing this recount. The recount is a complete and total sham. The rules seem to keep changing. The Secretary of State said last Wednesday there would be an audit, a full manual recount, and a re-canvass of all the votes in the presidential election. But now it's changing to this, well, if it's within the margin of error, then we'll just take what was on election night.
Yeah, well, there's no margin of error. And that's fine for a poll, and those sure weren't accurate. But there's no margin of error when it comes to a vote. Here's what Mayor Giuliani just said about the situation in Georgia.
So, for example, the recount being done in Georgia will tell us nothing because these fraudulent ballots will just be counted again because they wouldn't supply the signatures to match the ballots. So it means nothing to have counted these ballots.
So, I mean, Jenny Beth, again, I feel like this is a great example when, you know, all of us who work for groups, maybe conservative groups, it may mean that we're more aligned with Republicans usually than we are Democrats, but that it can be just as bad in a state that is run entirely by Republicans. And I think Georgia is showing that example, is that you've got to have effective state leadership. And in Georgia specifically, this is not just us as conservatives hammering Democrats or liberals.
That is exactly correct. Over the last 2 weeks, I've thought, no wonder the Democrats didn't trust the election two years ago. And what are we going to do when we get to the end of this and you have most Democrats in Georgia and most Republicans who actually question whether the vote they cast will be canceled by an illegal vote? That's not a good place for us to be as Americans or Georgians.
It's not. And Jenny Beth, I mean, we've only got 40 seconds here, but I mean, in her home state of Georgia, and many of us where we're from, happen to be at the ACLJ, they're going to have the two decisive races to decide the control of the U.S. Senate on January 5th. So that Secretary of State has got a whole issue to deal with a runoff there as well. We appreciate Jenny Beth joining us as well. Check out teapartypatriots.org. That's teapartypatriots.org. Second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live coming next. Of course, we'll watch that press conference with our colleague Mayor Giuliani. We'll be playing that for you during the breaks. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We know the press conference going on with our colleague, Mayor Giuliani, and some of the Trump legal team. Of course, if there's anything there that we're not talking about here that we need to break to, we can, so we're monitoring it closely for you as well. And I think, you know, it's important, this patterns that we're talking about. This was from the press conference happening now. This is Mayor Giuliani. And this is important because we keep talking about it as well. Patterns that you see of problems in these states that are the most important to the election. Take a listen by 32.
And what emerged very quickly is it's not a singular voter fraud in one state. This pattern repeats itself in a number of states. Almost exactly the same pattern, which to any experienced investigator, prosecutor, would suggest that there was a plan from a centralized place to execute these various acts of voter fraud, specifically focused on big cities.
Well, and that's what we were talking about. In most of the states where there are issues, it is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. It is Detroit in Michigan. It is Las Vegas. It is Milwaukee. And in Georgia, it happens to be a whole statewide problem. And they've had that problem, as Ginny Beth Martin pointed out from Tea Party Patriots, and she's a Georgian, lives there, is they've had that problem, which was exposed in their last election for governor. They really barely got their act together there. It was decided by 300 votes. Stacey Abrams became a player. So, I mean, that was a whole issue. And now they've got they've got two runoff elections for the U.S. Senate. But I think where Mayor Giuliani's right is that in the majors, the other states, the Democrat stronghold states that we talk about, where you've got blue counties, they all seem to be having the same problem with trying to certify their elections. The numbers don't add up. The mail-in ballot numbers, even the same-day voters, don't add up in Detroit. In 71% of the precincts.
Yeah, the precincts. So here's the question. I guess that's, you know, kind of the top of everybody's mind here. And we'll start with the situation in Georgia. So in Georgia, we've got, Andy, the situation where we know that there's been these, you know, four or five counties have found, or precincts have found, these the thumb drive that have the, you know, actual votes on them. We don't know now, based on what Ginny Beth Martin said, whether they're going to even count those or not in their certification. We have a runoff for two U.S. senators around the corner. So I ask you, you're there right now looking at this. I know we're going to have litigation filed there this afternoon or later this evening. But this is a colossal mess.
Well, it is, Jay. And the thing that scares me to death is that on January the 5th, this same Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, is going to have to make a certification to the governor of a runoff election that's going to decide who controls the United States Senate. Think about this. It's going to be a runoff between a communist, Marxist, John Ossoff, who's never had a job in his life, and Senator Perdue, and Pastor Warnock, and Kelly Loeffler, the incumbent, excellent United States Senator that we have that was appointed to fill Senator Isaacson's unexpired term. That's coming up in a matter of weeks. How is that election going to be handled? Can we rely on the results of that balloting? What is going to happen in that race? They need to get their act together well before that race, which decides the balance of power in the United States Senate, comes to fruition.
I agree 100%.
Again, we're going to start taking your phone calls. We come back from this break at 1-800-684-3110. We're monitoring the press conference with our colleagues as well. We've played from you of that, but we're kind of discussing a lot of the same issues and more in depth, of course, getting you in this conversation as well. I want to remind you all, as we begin to take more phone calls in the next segment of the broadcast, and comments at 1-800-684-3110, that November is a matching challenge month for the ACLJ. I know next week, you know, with Thanksgiving and I think it's a good thing Thanksgiving is coming for a lot of people. If you're in, you know, in your state, they're not shaming you not to celebrate it. Of course, to be, you know, be conscious of health issues and of your family. But as we head into that, again, this is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ, because we have a group of donors that say we'll match all of the donations in the month of November. So if you've thought about donating to the ACLJ or making your donation to the ACLJ, this is a perfect time to do it at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. 1-800-684-3110 is the number to talk to us on air. I want to get to a couple people have been hanging on to, Alex and Carrie. So we'll start with Alex and we'll get to you next. Carrie, Alex in Florida on line one. Hey, Alex, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Alex. Hey, Alex.
Hi, Jay. Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate what you guys are doing for President Trump, and I'm all the way with you.
Thanks.
My quick question for you today is, I know this election is far from over and there's still counts being counted in those states that you guys were talking about, but my question is why is people calling Biden president-elect and why is he always on the air trying to do...
Because the people that are calling him president-elect are the networks, and he's not the president-elect technically. No president-elect is... No person that won the presidency is really not the president-elect until the Electoral College meets and casts its vote. And we've got a lengthy memo on that. That doesn't happen until mid-December, December 14th. Traditionally, they've said the winner of the race is the president-elect. So the networks have done that. What we're saying is, I don't care about labels right now. I'm trying to figure out, for instance, and this is what's interesting to me on the Detroit side of this, or the Wayne County, Harry, is what's the remedy for this? Mayor Giuliani just said that they withdrew the lawsuit because now it's not being certified. The two are alleging it can't be certified, so it should not be certified because you need a majority. What is the remedy?
Well, one remedy is to require the citizens of Wayne County and the city of Detroit to re-vote. And then the question becomes, what was the margin of victory reported by the Wayne County Board of Canvassers? And then what is the new margin?
And what is the nature of the fraud?
And what is the nature of the fraud? So one of the things that we need to establish, and we don't have a complete handle on, is how widespread the fraud was.
Yep.
Certainly there's anecdotal evidence suggesting that the fraud could have been very widespread, and that might be enough to change the outcome.
Because the question is always, is it outcome determinative?
Precisely.
Yeah.
And it might be because Wayne County is such a large county in Michigan.
Yeah.
The other question that's out there, and I don't know if the president's legal team is pursuing this, is that there may be some evidence of fraud that has occurred in other counties.
Yeah, I don't know. Following that one that in that detail. There's other lawyers working on that. Let me then go to Jordan and Andy, because this is the question I have, Jordan. In Georgia, with it was 0.3 of a vote and Purdue would have avoided the runoff.
Right.
The idea that they're not counting...
It's a goofy election. Laws that don't make sense.
What about all these votes that have been added? 10,000 votes?
And they haven't obviously fixed anything from their last election cycle, because I guess Governor Kemp, who's a Republican, call out here, didn't want anybody to look into their actual election issues they have there, because he barely squeaked out a victory in a state he should have easily won. And of course, I think he won by 300-something votes. And so I guess he told the Secretary of State, let's not really look into our situation. So now we have literally the entire state has got issues all over. And Georgia and those election officials are going to decide the outcome of who the balance of power of Congress.
Yeah, well, that's
which is if Joe Biden becomes president, is there a check on Joe Biden or not by any of the either of the legislative branches? It's not going to be the House. That Democrats control that. But it could be that Mitch McConnell remains majority leader of the Senate, but it comes down to the two races in Georgia, and that same Secretary of State has got to put that on.
Well,
has to put on a full runoff election. Now, there's not going to be mail-in ballots, but there are absentee ballots.
Yeah. So Kevin on YouTube just asked this question, Andy, is with all of this that's happening in Georgia, with them finding these thumb drives around and all the other issues that they're dealing with, what is going to be the impact for correction purposes, if any, and I underline if any, for the upcoming Senate race, which is in January 3rd, and so far there's been no indication that the legislature is coming back in session?
No. That's right, Jay. One of the remedies, and I was talking to a state senator, and I won't say who it is, but he said, well, what do you propose that we do? What is the remedy? And I said, the remedy is when you have an election that is so rife with fraud throughout the state and votes are being found days and days and days after the election, you simply invalidate the election and go to the Constitution. And what the Constitution says is that the electors are selected by the state legislature, by the General Assembly of Georgia, and that is the slate that is certified to the Congress for purposes of the Electoral College on December the 14th. That is the remedy that I am seeking. Invalidate this election, send it to the General Assembly, let them pick the electors. Look, we have got coming up, and I said this earlier and I'll repeat it, it bears repetition. We have got two United States senatorial election runoffs coming up on January 5th. We can't face the same mess on January the 5th that we have today, because that's the firewall between Biden, if he ever gets to be president, and Pelosi and her crew in the House of Representatives, is that we hold the Senate. And the state of Georgia stands in the middle. As Schumer said, we take Georgia, we control America. You know what? In a goofy kind of way, he's right.
No, he's totally right. I mean, Chuck Schumer, right. If you have if you've got the House and the Senate and the White House, you can put forward your Green New Deal. It might cost you in midterm elections. You can do your tax hikes. It might cost you midterm elections. But even in those midterm elections, it's tough for them to repeal what you put forward. They can prevent future. So, I mean, it is very important, folks, that Georgia gets things right. And it's not clear that you've got a functioning government there, that the Secretary of State's office is functioning correctly, the governor's office is functioning correctly. The list goes on. Let's go to Carrie in Missouri on line four. Hey, Carrie.
Thanks for taking my call. It appears like each day more and more evidence for this pattern of massive nationwide voter fraud did indeed take place. So what is the process to be able to get all of that evidence and patterns presented as a whole before the Supreme Court instead of just the state-by-state basis?
So I think one is it's got to be state-by-state and county-by-county. And you need to look at the states. You cannot go into all 50 states. You don't have time in the election. Courts are a place of last resort. And actually, the law is written where you don't have to fully rely on courts. State legislatures can step in without courts, declare election failed, and decide that they're going to put forward a new group of electors and decide who those electors are. And so, and that no court challenges there. The law is gives a lot of space for the states to take that kind of action. Governors can take action. Congress can take action. Court's the place of last resort. So you look at where you can build together, fraud. For instance, one of the problems with the recount going on in Wisconsin right now, Mayor Giuliani was just talking about this at their press conference, is the recount in Madison, which is one of the counties of the two counties that the Trump campaign wants to have recounted in Wisconsin. The number of absentee ballot requests doesn't match the number of absentee ballots counted.
Now say that
they
again.
Don't have enough requests to match up with the amount of votes that came in.
So how
and technically,
that...
that's it. If you didn't get, if you got an absentee ballot incorrectly, they should just have tossed it. So if you didn't, if they don't have a record of you requesting it, that vote should be tossed
without a question.
So
why
they don't want the recount
a...
to start because they got problems like that that they don't want to have to deal
but
with.
Why is
then they
can't
certify it as a state, and it comes. There's a whole host of legal issues that are roaring towards these states that the New York Times doesn't want to actually think about, which is when they can't actually certify their state elections.
This exactly. And by the way, the Constitution has remedies for that, and so do the state constitutions.
I'm not holding remedies up, they like in the New York Times.
No, it's not the piece they wanted in any of these papers, but I'm holding the memo on how it's done. This is how it's actually done. And what they want to do is not do that, to avoid that. So they're trying these certification, man, but legislatures are now saying, wait a minute, this is not the way it's supposed to be.
Here's Mayor Giuliani talking about that.
There are 60,000 ballots in Milwaukee County and 40,000 ballots in Madison that, as far as we can tell, and this is why we're auditing, because we have very good information that the numbers are going to come out about here, that don't have applications. Under the law of the state of Wisconsin, already decided, if there's no application for an absentee ballot, the absentee ballot is thrown away.
Yeah, well, there you have it. So, I mean, and that would, and Harry, again, this, we only got less than a minute for this segment. That would make sense in light of, if that's the case, you can't just count it.
Absolutely. One of the things that is absolutely clear in Wisconsin, in Wayne County, Michigan, and in the state of Georgia is that the election officials, in addition to likely engaging in fraudulent behavior or at least huge mistakes, they also have difficulty with elementary math. It's impossible to justify the outcomes in those three jurisdictions based on an elementary understanding of mathematics.
All right, folks, we have another segment coming up. We'll take more of your phone calls, more of your questions, and more of your comments. 1-800-684-3110. Remember, at the ACLJ, the entire month of November is a matching challenge month. What that means, we have a group of donors. They get together. They say, we will match all of the donations that come into the organization in the month of November. So if you donate online at aclj.org, you double the impact of your donation. That's aclj.org. It's how we do all the work that we do. It's also how we bring you this broadcast every single day. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to get to the calls people have been holding on. Let's go to right to Joe in Florida online, too. Hey, Joe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, thank you so much. Yep. I appreciate you taking my call. My concern is with all of this fraud that's going on, the machines, the voting machines that have been dysfunctional, the thumb drives that are showing up, and everything that I hear so much about, but I don't hear much about what's actually going on to help us out here.
Well, Joe, there's a press conference going on right now that we've been breaking into where Mayor Giuliani's leading a team that have looked at that, those issues, and continue to file litigation. We were involved in a case already at the U.S. Supreme Court involving Pennsylvania. There's litigation, and now there's now an issue of certification in Michigan. There's an issue now in Wisconsin. And, of course, as we said, Georgia is under a microscope for the country right now because of the issues going on down there. So they're in court. That's the way the process works. Now, as we said, the legislatures can directly impact this, Jordan. They have the ability to do that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so the legislators, states have been given the power by the federal government in laws, federal laws, to decide that when elections have been just to a point where it's a failed election, so you cannot certify it. There's no way. You cannot figure out the numbers. They don't add up. The percentages, the people who, you know, the requests for absentee ballots, the actual ballots cast, thumb drives, missing votes, too many votes. There's a process to go through at the state level, at the legislative level. Interesting, in these states that are in question, Republicans are in control. Now, again, I point you to Georgia, where it's not like Republicans are running things perfectly. I don't have a lot of faith, not just in how in the election, how it was done there, but also in the fact that they have the two runoff elections. And if you're the Democrats right now, you must love this. You got Secretary of State who's been called on, and I think they should, to resign by the two Republican Senate candidates, U.S. Senate candidates. Andy, I can't think of another time in history of politics, but specifically in Georgia politics, where someone from the same party who holds statewide offices, federal level, and then to the state level, is calling on one of those people to resign, not because of like some moral failing either, but because of their failure as an actual leader.
Well, that's right, Jordan. I've lived in Georgia for 54 years since I came to Emory as a student, and I've never heard a political party call upon a member of its own party to step down because they didn't know what they were doing. And obviously, this Secretary of State, I don't think he's guilty of fraud. I don't think he's guilty of bad faith. I don't think any of that. But he's obviously negligent and grossly incompetent to handle this. And Senator Perdue and Loeffler have both called upon him to get out so that the election on January 5th can be conducted by a Secretary of State who knows what he or she is doing. And it scares me. It terrifies me what's going to happen on January the 5th when the balance of power in the Congress is going to be decided by us in Georgia. Think about that. The power that the state of Georgia has on January 5th to determine who controls the Senate. And that election is going to be run by an incompetent? I hope not.
You know, the cure issue there is, again, I go back to this, we've got a cure issue that's going on right now. We had Jenny Beth Martin on Tea Party Patriots. We don't even know which vote they're going to certify. Is it election night vote or the differential that's come in over the last several days, last week? Then you have, as you said, the early January Senate runoffs where the same problems can happen unless fixed. And you don't have the governor at this point willing to call in the Senate for a special session, which they need to get this fixed for election integrity purposes. I mean, this was John Ossoff is running against David Perdue. The differential was about 2.5 points. But Perdue missed the 50+1 requirement by 0.3 of a point. I don't know what the numbers move now, if anything significant, but with the ones that have come in. But the point is, they got to get this fixed or else we have a mess. Now, I want to play this, the quote, we talk about Georgia. Here's what the mayor just said about Georgia, Mayor Giuliani.
Georgia, we're about to file a major lawsuit in Georgia.
That'll be filed probably tomorrow. I don't need to go through it. Virtually the same things I've told you before. In the city of Atlanta, Republicans were not allowed to watch the absentee mail-in ballot process. Inspections completely cast aside. And we have numerous double voters. We have numerous out-of-state voters. And we have specific evidence of intimidation and changes of vote. That'll all be in the lawsuit that comes out tomorrow.
So as we're sitting here, there are more lawsuits being filed immediately, and there's additional court action going on in Pennsylvania, that amended complaints being filed there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, Harry, if this ultimately winds up in some form, either in the state legislative gambit or at the Supreme Court or both, depending on the state.
Absolutely. So I think there's a high probability that the state legislatures will indeed play a role, and I think they should play a role because there is clear and unmistakable evidence, at least from my perspective, suggesting that there may be several failed elections in a number of states affecting the outcome of the election. And there may also be cases that will be filed with the United States Supreme Court. Collectively, all of those states are indeed outcome determinative. And I think it is premature to claim that Joe Biden is indeed the president-elect.
All right, folks. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let me try to grab one more call in. Today, still, let's see, we get both these. Steve in Tennessee, very quickly, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a huge appreciation for all the ACLJ is doing.
Thanks.
My question is this. What can the general public expect as far as a timeline goes as to when we'll have answers to what the states are doing and, of course, ultimately
I think by the day that the elector, the litigation on this has to end, I think, really, by the time the Electoral College meets. If not, the state legislatures will be having to take a big role that they don't want to take.
A huge legal problem is like roaring towards them, and that is that they have their own deadlines in place, and then there's the federal deadlines in place, and they have all these bipartisan commissions that have to agree to submit, and they're not. And there's fights now over that in Michigan. There's fights over that in Wisconsin. There's problems with that in Georgia. You're seeing it throughout the in Nevada as well. Let's take Cindy's call quickly. Cindy, you're on the air in Michigan.
Hi. I was wondering, are they going to do an investigation concerning the House and Senate?
Cindy, and I know you're calling from Michigan. None of these recounts so far. And in Michigan, it's really down to Wayne County's vote certification. It's not even a recount at this point. It's just the vote certification. So it's not going to impact other races that were called at this point. Because kind of same thing, but then that's not a recount. That's just the election commission cannot agree to certify the results of the biggest county in Michigan. There's obviously a lot more. There are more lawsuits coming, and we just played that. This is not done legally in court. It's not done for legislatures. It's not done for these commissions that don't usually get a lot of attention. It's not done for the secretaries of state. We have a lot more for you, of course, at ACLJ.org and on tomorrow's broadcast and next week. Stay with us at ACLJ if you support the work that we do in this broadcast as well. Double the impact your donation. For the month of November is a matching challenge month. Donate online at ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.